Today's Shira is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tes on the base, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara tells us how Reish Lakish was swimming, washing himself in the Yarden, and he met Rabbi Bachana and he started a discussion with him. Ask the Gemara, this is something that we need to understand about the story. Reish Lakish m'shtoi Bahad the Rabbi Babachana, would Reish Lakish speak with Rabbi Babachana in a public place? Ask the Gemara. Uma Rabbi Lozer, the Mar Darad Yisrael here. Rabbi Lozer was considered one of the most important Rabbonim in Yisrael. V'loi have a Mishtar Reish Lakish Badei. And Reish Lakish would not speak with him in a public place. And of course, when the Gemara says that he would not speak with him, it means he wouldn't initiate the conversation with him in a public place. Because, and the reason Reish Lakish did this, is the man Mishtar Reish Lakish Badei Vishok, anyone who Reish Lakish would speak with publicly in the street, Yavle Iska B'loi Sade, people would say that if this person is so great that Reish Lakish is speaking to him publicly, he could be trusted and they would do business with him or lend him money without any edim. So, and Reish Lakish did not want to take that responsibility on himself, that somebody should perhaps lend money to someone and Chas V'Shalom lose it. So ask the Gemara, if he refused to speak with Rabbi Lozer, had they Rabbi Babachana M'shtoi, would Rabbi Babachana is going to speak? So of course, as we said, Tosfos says that Rabbi Lozer did not initiate a conversation with anyone in the street. But Tosfos says that if somebody spoke to him, he would respond. Tosfos Shesharim says that what the Gemara means to say was that it was a regular conversation that he would not speak with that person. But of course, Divrei Torah, because when it comes to Divrei Torah, he would speak to people even if he didn't know them. The Ben Yoyada explains Reish Lakish behavior. He says when Reish Lakish was young, he himself was a thief. And therefore, says the Ben Yoyada, Reish Lakish, as he got older, he didn't want to ever associate again with people who weren't trustworthy people. But because it's very hard to determine who is and who isn't, he took the custom, did not speak to anybody in the public area unless the person was known public by everyone as a reliable person. Daniel Yo has a different approach to Reish Lakish behavior. He says that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, also l'tam tchachem lamed b'makam ha'tenoifes. A Talmid Chacham may not stand in a place which is not clean. Shal karcha, because the person, the Talmid Chacham, is constantly thinking about Divrei Torah. And since the Talmid Chacham is constantly thinking about Divrei Torah, if it's a place where it's not clean, that we have a serious issue. Because in a place that's not clean, you're not supposed to think about Divrei Torah. And the same thing, why that was the reason he explains where Reish Lakish did not want to speak in the street with someone, because he was afraid that if he's going to stay in the street speaking to this person, he may end up standing in a place that's not clean and standing in a place and thinking and talking Divrei Torah. So that's why Reish Lakish took it upon himself that never to stand or never to just be like that in a public area. Only when the person that he was talking to was a well-known Talmud Chacham, so out of respect for the Talmud Chacham, that's what he would do. He would respond. Otherwise, he would be very careful to avoid doing so. So the Gemara question goes back to the beginning. How did Reish Lakish speak to Rabbi Babachana? Answers the Gemara: Amra Papa Shadi Garber Revneim. It wasn't Reish Lakish that began a conversation with Rabbi Babachana. We have to say that it wasn't either Rabbi Babachana or Reish Lakish Hava. Either it's Reish Lakish and the person he was speaking to was Ziri, a Rabbi Bechana Hava, or was Rabbi Bechana in the story, but he didn't stick out his hand to Reish Lakish, he stuck out his hand to Rabbi Elazar. And with Ze'iri, even though we're seeing how reluctant Reish Lakish was to speak in the public, Ze'iri, he spoke to. Because Ze'iri was known to be a great person, he was known to be a tzaddik, his reputation, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin on the base, says, reached all the way to Alexandria, Shematzrayim, so therefore, with him, Reish Lakish would speak. Says the Gemara, Kiyosla Kameid Rabbi Yochanan, when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan and repeated this episode, Amalei Lav Hanatama, the reason there was no Shechina in the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, because Inam Yisliki Kula, B'mei Ezra, even if all of Klal Yisrael would have come to Yisrael in the time of Ezra, there still wouldn't have been any Shechina in the Migdash Sheni. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Yaft Alakim Liyafes, V'yishkoin Baal Hashem. Afakav the Yaft Alakim Liyafes, even though the descendants of Yafes were the ones that built the Beis Migdash Sheni, still ain't a Shechina Shoira Ela Baal Hashem. The Shechina will only be in the Olei Shem. And as the morale explains, what the Gemara is trying to understand when it's explaining this pasuk, the pasuk says Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, and then the pasuk says Yaft Elokim Liyefes V'Yishkoin B'Olei Shem. So the difficulty in the pasuk, explains the morale, is that the pasuk begins with Shem, then transfers. To Yefes, and then comes back to Shem. What's the Gemara trying to teach us? That ain't a Shechina Shara Ela Ba'al Shem. So of course many Mefarshim try to understand what is the Gemara, why is the Gemara used Lashon Rabim, Ole. So Mashah says, because referring to the Mishkan, where it was the Shechina, and to the Beis HaMegdash Rishon. The Ben Yoyada explains that there were two places in the Beis HaMikdash where it was the Shechina. One was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on top of the Oren, and one was in the Mizbeach. Like we know, Yor the Eish Min HaShemayim. There was a fire that came down Min HaShemayim. So the Gemara, by wanting to show, it was all a shame. There was two places in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two places there where the Shechina was, and therefore, since there were two places, That's why it's called Ole Shem. The Avos Yonason says that the Gemara is trying to say it's not referring to a place, it's referring to people. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that the Ole Shem, the descendants of Shem, which represent Klal Yisrael, that's where we have the Shechina. So since the Gemara spoke about the Bnei Yefes, The Gemara analyzes different places where we find that the children of Noach lived. The pasuk says in Parashas Noach, when it speaks about the Todos, the descendants of Cush, the son of Chum, the pasuk says Safta v'Rama v'Savatcha. Tani Reb Yosef and Reb Yosef says, are Sama and Sabatka the same or not? So he says, there were two cities, Sargis and Gavyosin, but they were surrounded by mountains, and they were inner cities, and they were Sarkis and Maraisa, and the outer cities. Between the inner cities and the outer cities, there was a distance of 100 parsa. The Kefa, and the perimeter of these cities is Alpha Parsi, is 1,000 parsa. The pasuk says, Vati Rashis Mamlachtoi, Bavel, V'erech, V'ekid, V'kalneya. Bavel, says the Gemara, is Kamashmaya, the same Bavel that we know, Bavel. And we know that the reason that Bavel was called that name is because that's the place where there was the Dora Flogger, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everybody's language, mixed up the entire world. Bavel Kamashmaya, Erech Zurichis, Aked Zub. Baskar v'kalnen is a noifin nifi. Maneir tzehi yotza asher, tani Reb Yosef, asher zusili. When we speak about the city of Asher, it's called, it's the place that's known as Selek. But even as Nineveh as Rechav Yisrael is Kalach, Nineveh Kenishmai, when we speak about Nineveh, that's called, we know the city of Nineveh, it's spoken about often in Navi. Rechav Yisrael is Upras, the nation was near the Pras River, which is near Bavel, and the Gemara Masech, the Kedushin, that Memtes on the Bay speaks, says that a Sora Kavim Azuz Yod Alaylam, 10 measures of chutzpah came to the world, and Toshla Tisha Nitlam Nation, that 9 were taken by the city of Mation, and the Gemara over there explains that the reason was because there were a lot of Mamzerim in that city, in that place, and that's why people from Bavel would not want to marry people from Mation because they were Mamzerim. Kalach Zupras the Bursuf, it's a place called Pras the Bursuf. Vesresen by Ninveh and Bekelach, here are a Gdoila, says the Maresen Zuak Tesfun. The Taisvis and Sachta Gittin explains there were really two cities. One was in two cities with the name of Tifson, says one was in Eretz Yisrael and one was in Bavel. Here, Irak Doyla, any idea. So says the Gemara, I'm not sure how to understand the Pasuk. In Nineveh, Irak Doyla, when the Pasuk says here, Irak Doyla, is it referring to Nineveh, Im Loresen, or does the Gemara mean to, or does the Pasuk mean to say that Resen is the Irak Doyla? Says the Mark Shoimer, when the Pasuk says in Yoimna, the Ninveh Haisi Ir Gdoila Lakim, Mahalach Shloshes Yoimim, have Oimer, that's a raya that Ninveh was the Ir, the Ninveh was the Ir Hagdoila. So the Mefarshim ask, the Yifei Mara asks, that there's another Pasuk in Navi Yoina. The Pasuk says there, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yoina to Ninveh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kum leich el Ninveh l'ir Agdoila. So he said that Kadosh Baruch Hu already told Yoina that Ninveh is in Ir Agdoila. Why does the Gemara need a different pasuk? So he answers that since this pasuk says here Gdoila l'alakim, when it says the word Gdoila l'alakim, it's much more indicative that it's a very big city. The pasuk, since we're explaining psukim and names in the Torah, the Pasuk describes that when the Meraglim went through Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, V'yal b'negev, v'yavo at chevron, v'sham achimon shesh v'talmei yelidei ha'anok. Tana, so Gemara is going to focus on each one of the names. It says the Gemara, Tana, Achimon, why was he called Achimon? Me'yumin sheba'achim. He was the strongest of the brothers. Yamin means right. And we know that the right side is always the stronger side. And the Maral explains, why does the Gemara feel the need that to mention the names? So the Pasuk, because he says, if we look at the Pasuk says, V'shem Achiman Sheshev Talmei Yelidei Anak. So the Maral explains, the way the Pasuk reads, it reads as if everybody knew who these people were. But we don't find that these people were ever mentioned previously. So what is the reason that we assume that everybody knows these people? It must be that they were very famous, special people, and that's why the Gemara explains the names. Sheshai, Shemesim is Arutz Kishrisos. He was such a large individual that whenever he would walk, wherever he would step, he would cause furrows in the ground. Talmei, Shesomei is Arutz Tulamim Tulamim. The same with Talmei, that when he ever walked, he would make the ground like into rows. Achimon, Bona Anos, Shesha, Bona Olush, and Talmei, Bona Talbush. And as the Maral explains, we're assuming in our Gemara that they were very famous people. So the Gemara is explaining what made them so famous. What made them so famous was that each one of them had built a city. So because of the cities that they had built, that what caused them to have this fame. Yelidei Anak, says the Gemara, what's Pshat Yelidei Anak? Shemanike Machama Bekamasam. They were so tall, it looked like when they would walk, they would cause that you couldn't see the sun. Amar Rabbi Shuban Levi, Amar Rabbi, Asida Roy Mishatipa Biat Pras. Rome will ultimately fall to the hands of Pras. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, L'chein Shematas Hashem, Ashiyatz al Edoim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Nevu about Edoim, Omach Shavoysov, Shechoshav, Al Yosh Veisemon, Im Lo Yitzchavu Tzirei Etzoin, Im Lo Yosu Elokim Neveim. Edoim is Rome, because Rome came from Edoim. The Tzirei Etzoin refers to Parasim. And Yirmiyahu is saying on Nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that the Persaim will destroy the Romans. Ask the Gemara, Maskela Rabbi Barula, my mashma the high Tzirei Etzoin. What causes you to say that the Tzirei Etzoin refers to Pras, the Ksiv, because we find in the Pasuk in the Neil, in a dream that the Neil had dreamt, and the Malach Gavriel comes to Daniel to interpret the dream. And he says, Ha'ayel Shereisa, the animal that you saw, Bala Kanayim, that has these horns, Malchim Modeh Pras. So we see that Pras is called an ayo, and ayo is from the Tzoyim. Ask the Gemara, but what forces you to say that explanation? What forces you to say that explanation? Vema, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, when a continuation of that interpretation of the dream. And the Pasuk says, but Sfira Izim, and it says Sfira Izim, which is again in the category of Tzoyim, that refers to Melech Yavon, that refers to the Greeks. So why are you saying that it necessarily refers to Parsaim? So says the Gemara, the answer to the question that Rabbi Bar Ula said, Ki Ola Rav Chaviva Basamika, when Raviva Basamika came to Tisrael, Amar Kamedu Hu Merabonon, he said over this question, and Amalei, and what was told to him as response, Man Delo Yoda Prusha Kroy, somebody who doesn't know how to explain the Pasuk, Moisef Tiyufta Larebi, does asks question, My Tzirei Tzoyim, what is the definition of Tzirei Tzoyim? It means Tzutru Dachoy, the youngest of the brothers. Tzirei Tzoyim is referring to people. The Tani, Rabbi Yosef Tiris, the Pasuk that mentions all the children of Yefes, Tiris is mentioned last, presumably because he was the youngest, and it's referring to Pras. And therefore, when the Pasuk says Tzirei Tzoyim, it's very understandable. When the Pasuk says Tzirei Tzoyim, it's very understandable to say that the Pasuk is referring to Pras. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishem Rav Yehuda Berbeloi, Asida Roimi Shetipa Biyat Pras. Ultimately, Rome will fall into the hands of Pras. B'Kavachoymer, and we learned this with a Kavachoymer. Amag Mekdash Rishon, if the Mekdash Rishon, Shebono B'nei Shem, Klai Yisrael were the ones that built the Mekdash, Klai Yisrael were the ones that built the Mekdash Rishon, because they were the children of Shem, as we explained earlier. V'chrivu Kazdim, and the ones that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash Rishon were the Kazdim. And then, ultimately, Nofel Kazdim v'yad Persayim, the Kazdim fell into the hands of Persayim. So says the Gemara, Mikdash Sheni Shebonu Persayim. So we speak about the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, which was built by Persayim, l'chrivu Revayim, and then the Romans destroyed it, and it didn't, so ultimately the Romans will fall into the hands of the Persaim. Amar Rav. So Rav says, I can make a counter argument. I see the Pras, that Pras will fall into the hands of Roimi. Amar Rav Kahana v'Ravasil Rav, Benoi B'yat Tzroi, is it makes sense that the people who built the Beis HaMikdash will fall into the hands of those that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Amalu. So Rav said, in. That's what's going to be the case. Gzeris Melechi, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And some explain that the Romans were considered better than the Persaim. So of course we have to understand, the Gemara says, why? Gzeris Melechi, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. So of course everything happens because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that even though the Persaim built the Beis HaMikdash. What the Gemara is saying is, Gzeres Melchi, that when the Persayim built the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't build the Beis HaMikdash because they were good people. They didn't build the Beis HaMikdash because they really wanted to be nice. They built the Beis HaMikdash because Gzeres Melchi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced them to build the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they did what they were forced to do. And therefore, they're not really considered such great people. In fact, I saw that the Mefarshim explained that when the Persayim built the Beis HaMikdash, they told the Jews, as they were building the Beis HaMikdash, to make three rows of stone and then one row of wood. What was their plan? Their plan was that if case they wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, to burn it down, if it was made all of stone, it would be difficult to burn. But if they had those wood beams in it, it would be much easier to burn. So we see that they weren't such good people, and that's why Rav is saying that they will ultimately fall into the hands of the Romans. Ikadamri, Amalhu, Inunami HaKososri BeKenishta. A different explanation why Rav felt that they were ultimately punished, because we find that they aren't such good people. They are people who destroyed the shuls. Tainami Hochi, says the Gemara, see the Pras of Tipo Biag Roimi. Pras will ultimately fall in the hand of Roim. Chodah the Sadi Bei Knishta. One, because they are people who destroy Bati Knisiois. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Zeres Melechu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed, Shiplu Boinim Biat Soisrim. The people, Parsayim, who built the Beis HaMikdash, were ultimately fall into the hands of Romans who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ein Ben David Bo, Mashiach will not come, Acha Tifshe Malchus Roim HaRisha, until the Romans will prevail, B'chol HaOlam Kula, over the entire world, Tisha Chadashim, for 9 months. Shenemar, L'kein Yitnim, Ad Eish Yaleida, Yolda, V'yeser Echav Yeshuvin Abnei Yisrael. After the amount of time it takes to have a child, 9 months, then Klal Yisrael will have Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera B'yameinu. So, why 9 months? So, Masha explains that we know that there is Heavenly Mashiach. The Gemara speaks about that right before Mashiach comes, it will be a difficult time in the world. And the Gemara uses the words Heavenly Mashiach, which is very similar to the words of Heavenly Leida. So just like a woman is pregnant for 9 months, so too the Heavenly Mashiach will be for 9 months. The Maral explains that when Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will be like a newborn nation. So just like a person to be born takes 9 months, so too the rebirth of Klal Yisrael will take 9 months. And that's the 9 months where the Romans will prevail in the world. So the Maral goes on to explain. Here the Gemara is saying that the Romans will prevail over the whole world for those 9 months. Says the Maral, why is it going to be that way? So he explains that just like when Mashiach comes, there will be one nation, there will be one God, one nation, so the Gemara wants, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show the world that concept of oneness. And how would that begin? By having this one nation. The Ben Yehuda explains that these 9 months represent the 9 months that Yaakov and Esav were in their mother's womb together. And Yaakov had made commitment to Esav at that time that Olam Hazeh will belong to Esav. So this will be the 9 months that there was a commitment, and then Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, will prevail. The Chasam Sofer has a different approach. He says, in the time of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to show his tremendous strength. His strength is shown when there's this one powerful nation that is ruling the entire world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately show that he could cause them to be diminished. So in order that the gewaltige Kiddush Hashem, the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that will come when Mashiach comes, that's why it's going to be in such a way. The Gemara now begins a discussion. We've been speaking about from the beginning in the Masechta about putting up a mezuzah about the Lishkas Bahedrin, where the Kohen Gadol was sequestered for these 7 days before Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara wants to discuss the obligation of putting a mezuzah on that door. Tana Rabbanan, Kol Lishkas Shayi B'Mishkan, all the chambers that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Loi Hayolem mezuzah, did not have mezuzah, chutz mi Lishkas Bahedrin. The Lishkas Bahedrin was the only chamber that had a mezuzah. Because Shayi B'Mishkan Le Kohen Gadol, there was an apartment where the Kohen Gadol lived. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, asked Rabbi Yehuda, for like Kama Lishkas Shayi B'Mikdash, weren't there many chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, Shayi B'Mishkan Beis Tira? The Beis HaMikdash, as the Mishnah explains extensively in Masechta Tamid, had to have shomrim, had to have guards on a regular basis. So why didn't those places have a mezuzah? Ella, says the Gemara, Lishkas Bahedrin Gzeira Haisa. The obligation to put up a mezuzah on the Lishkas Bahedrin was a special rule. The reason that they made this rule, they should put up a mezuzah on the Lishkas Bahedrin, was because people shouldn't say, as we're going to learn the Gemara, that the Kohen is not there because he wants to be there. He's only there because he's forced to be there. And to show that the Kohen Gadol was living there happily, that's why they put up a mezuzah on the Lishkas Bahedrin. The Gemara in Masechta Menachos, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, says that rented rooms do not require mezuzah until you're there for 30 days. So now the question is, why did the Lishkas Bahedrin have to have a mezuzah, since it was placed that the Kohen was there for less than 30 days each year? As we started in our Masechta, the Kohen Gadol was only there for 7 days. And even though the halacha is that if you rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put up a mezuzah even before 30 days, says the Gvur Sari that distinction between Eretz Yisrael, where you rent an apartment, you immediately have to put up a mezuzah, and in Chutz Laretz, you wait for 30 days, is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, even an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, is exempt from mezuzah for the first 30 days that you live there. So since the Kohen Gadol didn't live there for 30 days, why does it require a mezuzah? So the Gevurah Sari quotes the Gemara that early in Amasech on Daf Ches Mabeis, saying that every year there was a new Kohen Gadol, the Gemara said, and every year the Kohen Gadol would rebuild and remodel the Lishkas Bahedrin. So even though the Kohanim Gedolim, as we learned, did not survive more than a year. So what happened, says the Gvur Sari, is that every year when there was a new Kohen Gadol, when he was installed to that position, he would remodel the Lishkas Bahedrin the way he would like. And therefore, says the Lishkas Bahedrin, was since the Kohanim Gedolim spent their own money every year to build the Lishkas Bahedrin, they're not considered like tenants of the Lishkas Bahedrin, they're considered like owners of the Lishkas Bahedrin. And if somebody owns an apartment, of course he has to put up a mezuzah immediately, even if he's going to be there for a very small amount of time. Another pshat that I saw was that the Kohen Gadol, as we learned, had to remain the Lishkas Bahedrin 24/7. And therefore, says the Kohen Deya, since the Kohen Gadol was there so much during the 7 days, that causes that it should be considered his own, like a regular home. So he's saying a very big chiddush, that even though to be considered a home, it normally has to be 30 days, in a situation where you're spending so much time in the home, you don't have to have 30 days. So the question here comes up, there are people who buy timeshare apartments, and they only are there for 1 week a year. They buy the right to be there 1 week a year. Is that going to be mechuyev in mezuzah or not? So the Shibina Rav quotes this discussion that we just had from the Gvur Sari, and the Shibina Rav quotes a Tosfos that says that asked the question, as we started our Masechta, we didn't just speak about the Lishkas, the Kohen Gadol, who was sequestered for 7 days before Yom Kippur. We also spoke about the Kahanim who did the Avodah with the Parah Aduma, who was sequestered 7 days before they did that Avodah. And what? Why are they not mentioned? Because the answer is that every year there was a Kohen Gadol that was separated for 7 days before they did the Avodah of Yom Kippur. But not every year did they do the says Tosfos that they have a Parah Aduma. So says the Chibina Rav, what do we learn from Tosfos? He says, what we learned from Tosfos is that a place where you are every year, even though every year you're not going to be there for 30 days, every year you're only going to be there for a week, just like we speak about the Lishkas Behedrin, the rule that a rented place, that a place that you don't own, still your mechuyev and mezuzah will apply because you're there on such a regular basis. You're there every year for those. You're there every year for those 30 days. My Tama, the Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you don't really have to have a mezuzah on the Lishkas Behedrin? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ksav Rabbi Yehuda, Ko Ba'ai Shein Osi, any home that's not meant L'mois L'chama or L'mois L'gishamim, where you're not meant to be there both in the summer and the winter, it's not a place that you're going to be there on a constant basis. Ein Abayis is not considered a full-fledged home, and therefore, since it's not a full-fledged home, that's why it's not really, therefore it's not considered a place that's mechuyev in a mezuzah. So the Gemara just said, a very bechiddush, that a place that you're not going to be on a regular basis is not going to be a place that you're mechuyev in a mezuzah. And that's why the Lishkas Behedrin, which was not a place that we're going to be there on a regular basis, is not mechuyev in a mezuzah b'deraisa. And that's why, explained the Rishonim, we go back to what we mentioned a few moments ago, that there were the different chambers in the Beis HaMikdash where the Shomrim, where the guards of the Beis HaMikdash stayed. But since those were places that were not places that they were there by day and by night, they were day only by night when they did the Shmirah, that's why it's not Mechuyev in Mezuzah. Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya, is that true? That a place where it's not meant to live on a steady basis, you're not mechuyev in mezuzah? But the pasuk says, v'ksiv, the pasuk over there is discussing the punishment that's going to come to the Rishoyim. The pasuk says, v'kesi beis ha-chayrif beis ha-kayitz. So we see that a place where a person only lives in the winter or in the summer is still called a bayis. So why are you saying that a place where a person only lives temporarily is not called a bayis? Amalei, so Rava responds, let's look at the words of the pasuk. The words of the pasuk are bayis chayiv and bayis kayitz ikri, that those places are called bayis chayiv and bayis kayitz. Bayis tama lo yikri, they're not called a bayis. That's why they're not mechuyev in a mezuzah. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Abaya, ask Abaya on Rava's pshat. The Mishnah, the Masech de Maisris, teaches us that if fruit, produce, are brought into a home, then the mechuyev in midiraisa, the mechuyev in maisris midiraisa. That's what's known throughout Shas as rias pnei abayis. So it says in the Mishnah Masechta Maisris, Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, Sukkos Achag B'chag, the sukkah on Sukkos, Rabbi Yehuda, and somebody brought produce into that sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda says it's chayev maisa, v'chom and poitrim. The chom say that's not chayiv, because it's not considered a bias. V'tana lo, and the Braisa explaining that Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv, Rabbi Yehuda furthermore says, it's chayiv in Erev Chatzeres. We know the Midaraisa, we learned from Sechta Erevin, Midaraisa, all you may not carry from, is from a Shusaram to Shusayochid, or vice versa. However, Chazal taught us that one may not carry from one Shusayochid for Rosh Hashayachad that belongs to one person, to Rosh Hashayachad that belongs to another person. Or, that means if you have, the example we give always, if you have two families that live in a house, one may not carry from one apartment to another apartment, even though they're both Rosh Hashayachads. Or one may not carry from his apartment, to the common areas, to the halls, and to the lobby, because your apartment is an area that belongs only to you. The lobby and the halls are areas that belong to many people. And the only way you could be able to carry on Shabbos between these areas is if you make an Eruvei Chatzeres. And the way we explain that Eruvei Chatzeres is made, that everybody who lives in that home gives some bread, and all of those bread, one person we learned in Masechet Erevin could be mezaket, could help everybody else get the bread, but all our bread should be put in one apartment, and that's going to be considered Eruvei Chatzeres. Says the Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda holds that the sukkah is considered a home as far as Eruvei Chatzeres is concerned as well. And therefore, if you have a sukkah opening up to a common area and you want to be able to carry in that common area, the only way you'll be able to carry in that common area is by making an Eruvei Chatzeres. And the same thing, he says, the mezuzah, that the sukkah has to have a mezuzah, ubemeiser, and the sukkah, if somebody brings produce into the sukkah, it's mechuyev meiser mederaisa. So what do we see from here? That even though the sukkah is not meant to be there, people don't live in the sukkah all year round. They only live in the sukkahs, yet he considers it a house. V'chi teima, and if you want to say that really the sukkah is not mechuyev in a mezuzah mederaisa. And this that we said here, that it is mechuyev in the raisa, is only with Rabbanon. Rabbanon were machmer, a gzeira, they should sit in the sukkah. They should put a mezuzah up on the sukkah. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Because bishlam erev mezuzah, to tell me that the sukkah has, the people who live in the sukkah have to contribute to the erev chatzeris, and to tell me that the people have to put up a mezuzah on the sukkah, that I could accept. Ikalameim of the Rabbanon. You could say that the Rabbanon were machmer, that even though it's not considered a full-fledged home, you should put up a mezuzah. Ella asked the Gemara, Meiser, my Ikalameimer. When we speak about Meiser, how can we understand that? The Meiser is a chumrah. How can we say that the Rabbanon would put up such a chumrah? We will end up in a difficult situation. What would be the difficult situation? Dilma osala frushi menachiv velaptor. The halach is that produce that's mechuyiv in Meiser Midaraisa cannot be you. The halacha is that if you have a number of baskets of produce, you don't have to take meiser from each basket separately. You could take enough meiser from one basket to cover all of the baskets. But that's only if all of the baskets have the equivalent obligation of meiser. But if one basket is mechuyev in meiser and one basket is not mechuyev meiser, then you can't do so, because you're going to end up in a situation that you may take menachiv al aptor or menachiv al achiv. So ask the Gemara, if this sukkah, where you brought the home is, but that you're taking the produce in, and we're saying that midrabbanon, you're supposed to take meiser, you may end up in a situation that you're taking menaptor, where this is not really mechuyev in meiser, alachiv. So Tosfos asks, don't we find in many places that Chazal made gzeira that you have to take chumas and meiseris? And we don't find that the Gemara should say, well, how could I make such a rule? We're going to end up in a situation of taking menaptor alachiv. So Tosfos answers that we look at all the places that Chazal say we should take Truma Meiser Midrabanan, we don't have that consideration. For example, we spoke in our previous shir about taking Meisers from the Mai. There's no concern that somebody's going to take, if somebody's taking Truma Meisers from the Mai, we're going to take from an Aptor al Achiv and Achiv al Aptor. Because as we learned in our previous shir, not in all situations that Chazal say we have to take off Trumas and Meisers from Demai. So the fact that we see that the Demai is treated differently than other produce, that will serve as a simon, as a reminder that this is not your regular situation. Or there are other examples. But Tosfos says that we look at all the examples that Chazal spoke about, that you have to take Trumas and Meisers, they all have built-in ways of knowing that this is only midrabanan. Another example Tosfos gives. The halacha is that a flower pot offered in Shas, we speak about a otzitz nokuf, a flower pot that has a hole, a flower pot that doesn't have a hole. And the halach is that midaraisa, you only have to take trumas and maisers from a otzu tznokov, from a flower pot that has a hole. Chazal said we have to take trumas and maisers even from a otzu tshenenokov. But everybody sees the difference between a otzu tznokov and a otzu tshenenokov. And therefore there's no reason to be concerned for any mix-up. However, if the Gemara, if Chazal considered the sukkah to be a full-fledged dira, there we need to be concerned, says the Gemara, that you could end up in a very bad place. You could end up taking menachiv al aptor or menaptor al achiv. Elam abaya. So therefore, says the Gemara, the way to understand machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is very different. But Shiva, the days that the Kohen Gadol is in the Lishkas Bahedrin, the Kulam Leplig the Mechaiva, everybody will agree that's Mechuyib and Mezuzah. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, just like he holds a Sukkah, is Mechuyib and Mezuzah, even though it's a place that you're there for 7 days, but he says that during those 7 days you have to have a Mezuzah, so too will be the Loch on the Lishkas Bahedrin, that during the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol in the Lishkas Bahedrin, you have to have a Mezuzah. Ki Pligi, where do we have, and where is the question, if the putting up the mezuzah on the Lishkas Bahedrin was obligatory, was mechuyev, or it's only because of gzeira, b'shayim Moshe Shana, the rest of the year. Rabbanan Savri, gzeirin shayim Moshe Shana ato shiva. The Lishkas Bahedrin had a mezuzah all year round, that in order to make sure that those 7 days before Yom Kippur, you put up a mezuzah there. Rabbi Yehuda Savaloi gzeirin, and therefore he says that even though those 7 days, of course, you have to have a mezuzah, there's no reason that you have to do so for the rest of the year. Amalei Rava, so Rava asks to Abaya on your explanation. It says, V'suk sechag b'chag tani. The Mishnah teaches us that the sukkah during the 7 days, those 7 days, the chama hold, you don't have to have a mezuzah. So how can you tell me that during the 7 days that you're there, you have to have a mezuzah? The only question is, do we expand it or not? Sukkah is the same as the Lishkas Bahedrin. And the Chacham hold that the sukkah you don't have to have a mezuzah, so they should hold that the Lishkas Bahedrin should not have to have a mezuzah. And therefore says Rava a different explanation in this Machlokes. Elam Rava, B'shayi Moshe Shana, all year round, Kulei Lama Pligi de Ptura. Everybody agrees that the Lishkas Bahedrin doesn't have to have a mezuzah, the sukkah doesn't have to have a mezuzah. Ki Pligi, the Machlokes is during the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is in the Lishkas Bahedrin, and the 7 days of the Sukkos. The Chama hold that the Lishkas Bahedrin is Mechuyev and Mezuzah, and the Sukkah is Potter, and Rabbi Yehuda holds just the opposite, that the Lishka is Potter from the Mezuzah, Midaraisa, it's only Midrabanan that we have to put up a Sukkah, a Mezuzah there, and Sukkah he holds is Chayevis. And of course, what that means to say, says the Gemara, sukkah tamaluchud, we have to analyze the sukkah separately for lishka tamaluchud, and we have to look at the lishka separately. Sukkah tamaluchud, Rav explains, as we look at the sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion that the sukkah, he says this in Masech, the sukkah dav zayin amabeis, sukkah diris kvabinen. The sukkah is considered a full-fledged home. And therefore, since it's considered a full-fledged home, mechayiv a mezuzah. Mechayiv to put up a mezuzah there. Rabbanan l'tamayu, but Rabbanan over there hold the sukkah diris arai b'inan. The sukkah, by definition, is a temporary home. Since the sukkah, by definition, is a temporary home, that's why loy mechayiv a mezuzah. So that's why we could understand the machloikus by the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the sukkah is it's a diris kva. So every diris kva has to have a sukkah. And the Rabbanan hold, it's a diris arai. A diris arai doesn't have to have a mezuzah. Lishka tam l'chud. And then when we look at the lishka, how will we explain the machloikus of the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbanan savri, dira b'koch ha'shma dira. Even though the Torah forces you to be there, he's there because that's the halacha. That's enough to make it into a dira. Rabbi Yehuda's sovereign, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the dira b'koch l'shma dira. Even though he's there not because he wants to be there, he's there because the halacha requires him to be there. That's enough for Rabbi Yehuda to be considered a dira. And when the Rabbanan knew the tekinah law, they That's not enough to make it into an apartment. And the only reason, says the Gemara, you have to put up a mezuzah, is shlo yomru kohen gadol chovesh beis asurim, that people should not look at the kohen gadol's staying there as something like he's in a place that he doesn't want to be. So because of that, Rabbi Yehuda said, there's a gzeira to put up a mezuzah, even though you don't want to be there. So of course the question is, that the sukkah, you're also there because you don't want to be there. Because you're there because the Torah tells you have to be in the sukkah. So why is the sukkah considered less of a dira bal karcho than the lishkas Sanhedrin? So the Achronim explain, by a sukkah, there are ways that you don't have to sit in the sukkah. You don't have to be in the sukkah all the time. There are only certain foods you have to eat in the sukkah. Lishkas Sanhedrin, you don't have those options. The Kohen Gadol had to be in the Lishkas Sanhedrin all of the time. Furthermore, other Achronim suggest that by the Lishkas Sanhedrin, by the sukkah, you could build the sukkah wherever you want. Whereas the Lishkas Sanhedrin, as we were explaining, was in that specific place in the Beis Hamikdash. Another explanation that the Achronim suggest is that Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, as we're saying, the Torah calls the sukkah diras kva. So since the Torah calls it a diras kva, it's a diras kva. But the lishkas Sanhedrin is never called a lishkas Sanhedrin. So here we see that a beis asurim, the jail, is a place that is not mechuyev is a place that's not considered a place that you mechuyev mezuzah, because it's not a place you want to be. You're only there because you have to. They imprisoned you. So the question is, what happens with hospitals? Is there an obligation to put up a mezuzah on a hospital? So of course, as Rabbi Yosef points out, hospitals are not only built for Jews. There are non-Jewish patients in hospitals, and they don't necessarily have to have a mezuzah. And of course, as we see here, the halach is that a beis asurim is not mechuyev in a mezuzah, and therefore even if there's a Jew in a jail, the halach is that they're not obligated to put up a mezuzah. The question that I saw the poskim continue to discuss is what's going to be the halacha if somebody has a bungalow, they rent a bungalow in the mountains, in a summer resort, are a mechuyev and a mezuzah. So I saw some poskim are of the opinion that since you're not there on a permanent basis, and you're only there because you want to be able to be in a place that has fresh air, but it's not something that is your permanent home, that you're not mechuyev, that some poskim that say that you're not mechuyev to be in the put up a mezuzah. Again, I'm referring here to a situation where you're renting the bungalow. If you own a summer home, of course you're mechuyev to put up a mezuzah. Ramosha held that since these places are places where you're going to be, even if you're just renting, if you're going to rent it for more than 30 days, you should put up a mezuzah. Of course, he says, it matters for how long you're going to rent it. And if you're going to rent it for less than 30 days, especially as we discussed earlier in the shiur, where it's a place that you're going to rent it for less than 30 days, and it's in Chutz Laaretz, you're not obligated to be in a mezuzah. You're not obligated to put up a mezuzah. So here we see a machlokes in the Gemara, if the sukkah is a diras kva or a diras arai. So what is this machlokes about? So I saw, because Rabbanan holds it's a diras arai, and the Chum hold, and Rehud holds it's a diras kva. So I saw that the Sefer told us, Adam explains, of course the sukkah is supposed to be a diras arai. Rabbi Yehuda says that, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us go into a sukkah? The Torah says, say b'diras kva. The Gemara says, leave your permanent home and go to the diras arai. That should be, explains the Sefer in understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, a lesson for the whole year. That even though the whole year, the Torah doesn't tell us that we have to sit in a sukkah, the 7 days that we sit in the sukkah during sukkahs are supposed to serve as a lesson to us for the entire year. So therefore, since these seven days of sukkahs represent a lesson for the entire year, so even though it's only for 7 days, it's considered there's kavah, because the lesson is a lesson that's supposed to remain for the entire year.